Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I bust my butt 16, 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I needed to do something. Wasn't sure what. Did a lot of research, and most health products pass through our digestive system with very little, if any, benefit. But I have your two bottles of Balance of Nature, the fruits and the veggies, and it's time that people discover this product because it is real, and I see noticeable results. I'm taking Balance of Nature, and I'm getting healthy. I'm reaching a new balance in health. So let's get the word out. Let's get you guys out there and running.
Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751. Or go to balanceofnature.com.
Hi, friends. If I could ask you a favor, go to mypillow.com and put in the code word Kate. Mike Lindell and I have partnered up not only to bring you fantastic products, but he's also helping this show. You're going to get wonderful products when you put in the code Kate, K-A-T-E. You're going to get 30% off on the products. They have specials all the time. But these, I'm not wowed easy, but these products are amazing, I have to say. The sheets, the towels, the robes, the slippers, everything. Completely amazing. You're going to love it. The phone number is 1-800-873-1052 or go to mypillow.com. And simply put in the code word Kate. Thanks, you guys.
And use discount code.
First, we've got population. Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
$10 billion over the next 10 years to make it the year of the vaccines. What does that mean exactly?
Well, over this decade, we believe unbelievable progress can be made, both inventing new vaccines and making sure they get out to all the children who need them. The benefits there in terms of reducing sickness, reducing the population growth, it really allows a society a chance to take care of itself once you've made that intervention.
Kate.
Rise and shine, fragile Americans. There's a victimhood to be claimed and microscopic germs to fear. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Children. I've got 21, 23-year-old children. And what's their future with you people with money? You talk about money all of the time.
Okay. Sit down, please. Sit down, please. In the front row.
In 2011, my wife and I were in Antarctica renewing our vows. For most of you that don't know, Antarctica is on a mountaintop. Okay? And there is a $500 million facility, scientific facility there, and the scientists came to give us presentations about global warming. And they had cores of ice that they had drilled. They had drilled 4,000 or 5,000 cores, and they only brought 15 or 20. So they're going through the second or third core, and they said 275,000 years ago, this was the temperature, blah, 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 blah. And then 55,000 years ago, the world was 2 degrees warmer Celsius than it is today. This is 2011. And stop. And he said, and I said, well, you mean the whole world? He says, yes. And the poles are only benchmarks. And I said, well, what about the things the young woman alluded to? Okay. And he said, it's all cyclical. And although the gas may have exacerbated it, in the cosmos of time, it's not a fart in the wind. In the cosmos of time, of the 13.8 billion years, it's not a fart in the wind. Now, my direct answer to your question, if that were really true, which you believe, and let's just for a moment say that it is true, that means that the best scenario vis-a-vis global warming is about 10 feet raise in water. That's the best scenario over the next 40, 50 years. That's the best scenario. The worst scenario is about 100 feet. But let's just take the 10 feet. If the water on the planet is going to rise up 10 feet, that means the southern part of the United States is gone. England is gone. Most of Europe is gone. And I can go, most of Central America is gone. Okay. If that's the case, let's just take Florida, for example, which is one of the fastest growing condominium, beachfront condominiums on the planet. In the prospectus, when you invest, there should be, in the footnotes, If global warming is for real, they won't put it that way, global warming happens and water rises 10 feet, this investment you made is not one single investment prospectus written since 2000, this century, has alluded to global warming. If it were really true, the banks wouldn't invest. The banks wouldn't finance. So the people that have the money, and I'm jealous of the Vice President, Gore. I am jealous he came up with a scam before I did. Because the financial institutions, the banks of this world, know it's not going to happen. Otherwise, you couldn't get a loan in London. You know those 30, 40-year mortgages? The world will be over by then. Is Barclays Bank going to give you a loan? With the greatest respect, ma'am, it's the greatest fraud that's been perpetrated on mankind this century.
Boom. Oh, I love it. Dan Pena. You know, I don't think very many people thought of that. It's like something that you go, oh, yeah. How come we didn't, you know, because there aren't a lot of honest journalists out there asking the questions. That's why. That's why you don't think about it. All right. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Melissa's out today, and I have kind of an interestingly weird topic to talk about today in its replacement. So we're going to be talking about rice. Yeah, rice, like the kind you eat. Yeah, we're going to be talking about that. I know. You're just going to have to hear me out on this. But I have so much to say about it. And, you know, global warming, global climate change, whatever it's called now, whatever the government wants to tell us is the problem now for more taxation and profiteering and control, is going to be the catalyst, they're going to say, for many things coming. And I do think some of those things have to do with food, with our food supply. And we've talked a lot about our food supply, actually. But I want to bring up something kind of curious as well. So welcome to the show. In the next hour, just to kind of give you a preface for the next hour, I'll have Susan on, and I want to talk for just a minute about fentanyl, Pelosi, the ties that bind, and the warfare document that was leaked back in 99. There's a couple things I want to talk about in the next hour that kind of go along with what I was talking about yesterday when it came to China. Okay. So I'll get there. But I want to go here because I got a lot of information to cover on this. So there have been many articles. By the way, welcome to the Kate Daly Show, if I didn't say so. And go to katedalyradio.com for the podcast of this so that you can share it with friends. So I'm always kind of interested in looking a little bit forward and saying, okay, why are they doing what they're doing? Bill Gates, there was an article about Bill Gates becoming the largest landowner, farm owner in America. And they questioned him about it in Entrepreneur magazine. And, you know, oddly enough, he doesn't really clarify his real reasons because he never does, never has to. But he owns a couple of states that are very interesting. And these are the states that he owns the most land in: Arkansas, Louisiana, and Arizona. So of course I'm asking the question, why? Why is his investment group suddenly going to these states? And keep in mind when I say this, back in 2018, they were sort of declaring their new venture from health. He's totally involved in our health. And of course, the genetically modifying shot, right? This peculiar shot that they're trying to jab into everybody's arms all over the world. So he's already involved in that, and he's involved in our education. But they said that agriculture will be the next front that he invests himself in. Okay? So he owns land in Louisiana, and Arkansas are the top two. And it's kind of surprising what they grow. They grow rice. Interesting, right? So you're probably thinking about this right now. You're probably going, huh, why? Why? In fact, Arkansas is the state that produces the most rice in America. Now, keep in mind that they service 80% of this rice to America, okay? And also keep in mind, this is very important, that rice is the most consumed food around the world. Interesting. Okay, So keep those two things in mind. So Arizona is kind of known for leafy greens, cabbages, melons, lemons, oranges, things like this. But I was, and also Arizona is the winter lettuce capital of the world. They produce the most lettuce. Okay. So Arkansas leads the nation in rice production. It's raised in water, for those that don't know. Many don't know that. And it provides the state economy there with about $4 billion a year. Okay. There's a lot of forestry in Louisiana, but the top crops are rice, corn, sugarcane, soybeans. Okay. And rice isn't the only thing Arkansas produces, except that it produces the most rice. And then we export. It provides us with about, 80% of our rice. And then we export about 6%. Now, you think that number's kind of low, except that we're number five in the world. We even export more rice than China. I know. You're kind of probably surprised by that. We export more rice than China does. The biggest exporter of rice is India. Okay. India followed by Thailand. Cambodia is up there, I think. But we're number five on the list for producing rice. So I think it's kind of interesting that the states that he's focused on owning the most land in are the states that produce the rice. Okay. Now, there are other places, too, that you'll see that we're 2% of the world's rice, okay? But it goes up to about 6%. So we're about 6. If you're looking really at the numbers that most people are producing, it's about 6% for the annual volume of the global rice trade. Okay. So American rice farmers grow roughly about 20 billion pounds of rice in Arkansas, California, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, and Texas. And accounting for that 80% of the rice consumed domestically here in the United States. In 2018, Canada and the United States approved GMO golden rice for cultivation, with Health Canada and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration declaring it safe for consumption. Let me say that again. 2018, Canada and the United States, working lockstep, approved GMO golden rice for cultivation. They had had a block on GMO rice for a very, very long time. China wouldn't even approve GMO rice. And they talked about it in The Guardian as, oh, this is so bad. We have this block on GMO rice, which, yeah. But they actually went as far as to say it was costing millions of lives and yada, yada, yada. But they were just saying, that we have to be able to produce this all over the place to get bigger crops, right? To get it produced more in the world. And it is the most eaten, the most consumed food. Right. That came out in 2014. It was the most consumed food, especially in Asia, Latin America, and parts of Africa. So they came out with this in June 2018, talking about, in a surprising twist, the U.S. and Drug and Food Administration. They had first two GM rice varieties with herbicide resistance. Right? They labeled two different kinds of rice, were approved in the United States. Now, we all know that Bill Gates is heavily involved in Monsanto, in GMO foods. Heavily involved. In fact, over the last decade, he just kept saying how healthy everything was. So healthy. It was reported in 2009 that China had granted biosafety approval to GM rice with pest resistance, but the strain was not commercialized. Okay. They were having problems because they wouldn't say it was an actual food. Yeah. Okay. So when I come back, I want to tell you a little bit about Monsanto, and I want to tell you a little bit why I'm bringing this up, a little bit about that as well. So you're going to have to hang on, because you're just going to have to hang on and wonder why I'm talking about all this today. But it kind of brings some of the topics that we've talked about on this show together. So I'll come right back. Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com. Love you. Chicago, love you, Utah, Alabama. Love you, Oregon. You guys, thank you for the listenership. You guys are awesome. Be right back, katedalyradio.com. Thank you, Missouri, too.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. Oh, you knew I was going to go in the Wayback Machine and offer this one up from Oliver Twist. Welcome back. And of course, go to MyPillow.com. I really thank you for ordering these wonderful, amazing sheets and towels and MyPillows and down comforters and robes and their mattress topper is just so comfortable. Oh my gosh. And the mattresses are amazing. They have new, brand new mattresses. Just phenomenal. Great price too. If you put in the code Kate, you get 30% off and it helps this show. So you get these great products, but you also get to help Truth in Radio. And this is the way you get to do it. I mean, I can't imagine. I didn't know what kinds of products they did. I really didn't. I was actually so unaware of all of the wonderful products they had. They are the best in their class of products. The sheets, the towels, the robes. Oh my gosh. Like the plush robes from the hotels. Oh my gosh. So nice. Make sure. And the slippers. Just these are great gifts too. Great wedding gifts. These are great gifts for Mother's Day, Father's Day coming up. And you also get to help this show stay on the air. And we get to inform. And we get to inform with truth. And also check out Mike Lindell's movie. It is at Mike Lindell TV. And you can go and watch Scientific Proof. It's a must. You got to watch. Just spend 1 hour watching that. Because they lay out the evidence, the actual evidence of the voter fraud. You can see how it works in each state. It's totally amazing. All right. So I will take a caller. Well, I'll try to take a caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Kate.
Sure.
We sure love your show.
Thank you.
Keep us informed. And I was wondering if you're busy, but if your people could do some research.
Mm-hmm.
I vaguely remember that the mad cow disease,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they lied to us once. The news and the doctors, the medical field, mm-hmm. They lied to it once. Why wouldn't they be lying again? Because
right.
If we remember that the mad cow disease, first it wouldn't hurt anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Then it wouldn't hurt anybody if you ate a lot of it. Then they found out it is hurting people.
Right.
You know, it's been called prion infections.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 100-page transcript of transhumanism movement,
right.
Cyborg, converging technology for improving human performance.
Right.
You know?
Yep, I know. I can't imagine, even after all of the things we could list, it's like, we almost have to, thank you, caller, really appreciate you. You almost have to ask it in reverse, like, when have they ever been honest? James Madison said something about this. He said, you know, you can't ever trust a government because they gain power and control. They'll always go outside the lines of their authority, always. There's no example of them not doing that, right? Okay. I don't know how anyone could trust them so blindly, but there are people out there. So let me get back to food because there's a reason I want to tie some stuff together for you. So Bill Gates owns the most farmland in America now. And the states that he owns the most farmland in produce rice, which I found kind of interesting. I wanted to take a further look at this because I am going to bring in a little bit of weather modification too to this discussion we're having. So India produces the most, but we actually produce more than even China, and we're number 5 producer exporter in the world. So we're down on the list, but not so far down that we're below China. And it is the most consumed food in the world. So if something were to happen, that could be very bad. Now, Bill Gates was in the press not long ago talking about scuba rice. I'm not joking. It's called scuba rice that could actually survive a flood, and they're working with that. Like, yummy. I can't wait to eat that kind of yum. Mmm. Wonder what they have to put in it to make it scuba-ish. Ew. Anyway, scuba rice. Ugh. Okay. So I want to say that, but at the same time, I just kind of want to bring you back. Since 2000, they've been working on herbicide resistance with Monsanto, adding glyphosate tolerance to rice. But they didn't attempt to bring it to market at that time. Bayer had a line. I know, Bayer just keeps cropping up, doesn't it? Mm. Bayer's line of herbicide resistance rice is known as Liberty Link. Liberty Link. Can you imagine? Liberty Link rice is resistant to glufosinate, okay? And so they had all this crop science going on, and the strain was approved for use, but it wasn't approved in large-scale use. They were still worried about it because it accelerated rates of mutations, okay? And so in the summer of 2006, about 5 years later, the USDA detected trace amounts of Liberty Link variety 601 in the rice shipments that were ready for export, and it was not approved as a food. Let me say that again. Liberty Link rice was not approved as a food. Bayer applied for deregulation of it in late July, and the USDA, oh my gosh, granted Bayer something? Of course. Bayer pretty much gets whatever it wants. Bayer aspirin, right? Bayer. Okay, so USDA granted deregulation status in November of 2006, even though they had just said it wasn't a food. And contamination led to a dramatic dip in rice futures markets at that time. So then it went back up, and rice production went back up. And, of course, Arkansas is the leading state where Bill Gates owns the most land. Very interesting to me. I always want to know why he's buying what he's buying. The Chinese government does not issue commercial usage licenses for genetically modified rice, by the way. All GMO rice is approved for research only over there. Interesting. So I want to bring you back to a little bit of a weather modification, because what would happen if, let's say, India got hit with something through, I don't know, let's just say HAARP. Got really busy. All the things we've been working on, it finally got its legs in 1990 through funding through Senior Bush. And, you know, I don't like the Bush family. I'm very conservative and I can't stand the Bushes because I know too much about them. Anybody does homework, sorry, you'll know too much about the Bush family to ever have an ounce of respect again. When he was president, they pushed through legalized HAARP funding, right? They put our tax dollars to use. And there's so much going on with HAARP. We've done shows on it. Weather modification, the history of weather modification, and certainly the uptick of weather modification. So it's been going on for decades and decades and decades, right? Even before 1990, okay? But you get to 1990, and the question I'm going to put out there is, are we getting hit with more dramatic weather events since 1990 that obviously hurt the food industries and everything else? Because I started wondering about India, to tell you the truth. And when I was wondering about India, I thought, you know, what does India look like in the form of flooding and all of these types of events? Because it would certainly wipe out, because they are the biggest rice producer of the world, and the rice is the most consumed food in the world. What would that do if somebody were to, you know, they kicked Gates out, right? They kicked Gates out of India for things that he was doing down there. So they don't really have a good relationship. So what would actually happen? Well, I was kind of looking at the flow of things. Now, you're going to find this kind of interesting. India, with flooding, okay, I'm talking floodings from the Kochi River, and I'm talking about like a dam that burst, okay? All the way going back to the 30s, India only had five events, okay? All the way back to the 30s, five dramatic events that caused flooding in certain areas of India. But then get this. This is what really surprised me. From this whole last decade, they have had a major incident every single year of the last decade. Isn't that surprising to you? How the uptick could get so much worse. And of course, they're going to blame this on human-caused climate change, even though you and I both know that's bunk. were cyclical, but nothing to offer up a dramatic flood event every single year for the last decade. There's no way. It's almost, dare I say, impossible to do that. If you look back to the history of India before we really started playing with weather, I think so. Because you know what's very interesting about what happened with India? And maybe they could do something that would wipe out their rice production completely. I don't know. But before, in the five incidences going clear back to the 1930s, it was like a dam bursting or a river overflowing, okay? A couple of events like that. What's interesting, though, is that ever since then, all the other events were all a heavy rain due to a burst of cloud caused severe floods and landslides. It was all these just heavy rains for no apparent reason coming down on them. Now, we all know weather modification has been played with a lot, but there's a definite reason as to why Bill Gates is extremely busy in buying up farmland, why he's the top. And I did find it very interesting that that the top state that he owns acreage in happens to be Arkansas, the biggest rice producer in the United States. So that brings me to November of 2018. The Gates Foundation, it's their group, it's called CERES, C-E-R-E-S, 2030 Plan, pushes the agenda of agribusiness. This was a couple years ago. And what they were talking about is they were aggressively pursuing scientific data collection as the key to effective action in healthcare, education, and now agriculture. CERES 2030 launched at the Committee on Food on the World Food Security in Rome, Italy, and it was co-funded, of course, by Germany. Why is Germany always in the picture? Have you noticed that? Germany is also one of the biggest entities to produce the vaccine. It's always with Germany. So they co-funded with Germany's Federal Ministry of Economic Cooperation and Development with a starting grant of $3.1 million, and they are a nonprofit based at Cornell University. There was an article in Business Insider that talked about the fact that they were sort of colluding with the heads of Monsanto. And they also said this: farmers across the globe are struggling with devastating impacts of climate change. It's always climate change, right? Disrupted rainfall patterns, drought, extreme weather events, pest infestations, plant diseases, crop losses, all these things. So they were actually going around and providing very manipulated information that they were going to start sending out so that people could go in and start getting investors to buy up properties for farmland. This is Bill Gates's group, CERES 2030. And they said the end game for CERES 2030, according to their own Cornell presentation, was to publish highly visible academic reviews in Nature magazine as early as 2020, designed to showcase and promote science chosen by this group, CERES 2030, right? To kind of present sort of a manipulated view about agribusiness, maybe to start getting the investors in to buy said properties so that farmers might give up. I don't know. I'll be right back. I have a little bit more on this particular article about CERES 2030. They have more to do with our food supply than I think we all think. Be right back. Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. Love that song. Welcome back. Make sure to go to Balance of Nature. At me talking about the food supply, you're going to want to order up. At least have dehydrated fruits and vegetables that are not GMO, no chemicals, no fillers, nothing. Just the cream of the crop, literally. Cream of the crop. You can't get better than Balance of Nature. They really care about this product. The doctor that invented Balance of Nature just did such an amazing job, and he really is into health. I mean, this guy is a health nut. He wouldn't even mind me saying that. I am telling you, this product is that good. The fiber spice drink, make sure you have extra. It's an amazing product with so many different vitamins put in. If you're taking a lot of supplements, you don't need to go buy a ton of supplements. Just do Balance of Nature and do the fiber spice drink. It's amazing. You'll like it. It tastes good, like apples. But it also has everything that you would be taking a million supplements for. Doesn't it feel like that? The older you get, the more supplements you're trying to take. I know, I've been there before. So I just wanted to mention that. And talking about the food supply, by the way, go to Balance of Nature and put in my code Kate. See, both codes for MyPillow and Balance of Nature are both Kate. They both help the show, and they both are just exquisite products. They're amazing. Please, if you want to do yourself a favor, I would never recommend something that I didn't take myself. You'll love it. Balance of Nature can help in so many ways. 31 fruits and vegetables every single day in 3 caplets of fruits and 3 caplets of veggies. All right. So let me go on just a little bit further, and then I'll take some phone calls. But I wanted to mention this because the Ceres 2030 group that Gates is involved in started pointing their direction toward agribusiness, agriculture, farming. And so what they said was that the advisory board, his name is Pingali, conspired with Monsanto executive Eric Sachs and PR executive Bethann Mumford to place into scientific literature subjects chosen for their influence on public policy. Oh, now we understand what is considered science and what isn't. It's when it impacts and has influence on public policy. Isn't that great? And so at the time, they were saying this was the 2015 goal, infiltrating the scientific literature for the mission of Ceres 2030. And the end game was to publish these things in Nature magazine, which is kind of a bought and sold publication anyway. And they said, look, they said, we are gearing, manipulating these documents. This is what they've been accused of. Because no doubt that the findings that they present, based on whatever scientists they can buy off, will produce this priceless influence on policymakers. Right? Because when they started doing this, even before 2018, this was clear back a few years before that, what all did they do? They had the Conservation Act of 2014, where they were saying to farm owners, hey, if you can't pay those high taxes we've levied on you, then just turn over your land to the Conservation Act. 2014, my own congressman even voted for this monstrosity. The Conservation Act, and then what would happen is they would say, okay, we're going to put a sign on your property that says Smith Family Farm owns this, but we're going to be operating it. We get to tell you what you can do on your land. And then the document that people were signing, and I know this because Melissa has family members that were caught up with this, and so she got to see the document. It basically said forever and ever and ever and ever, and this property is owned by America forever and ever and ever. And also it goes to the successor of the United States as well. Who's the successor of the United States? Wouldn't we all love to know the answer to that one? I'm sure you could guess. Okay. I'll never forget doing a show when I talked about food control by Dr. Richard Day in 1969. And that was when he delivered a conference. He was the head of Planned Parenthood and said, these are the things that are going to be happening over the next 30 years, whatever. And he said, watch for these things because it's already in the works. It's already planned. And this is what's going to be coming down the pike. Well, one of the doctors with a very, very photographic memory and went and wrote the things down that he talked about in this dissertation that he gave to physicians. 1969, keep that in mind. This is even before Roe versus Wade, and it talked about taxpayer-funded abortion.
Okay. This is what it said about food control. I wanted to bring this into this conversation. Food supplies would come under tight control. This is what the doctor said, Dr. Richard Day. If population didn't slow down, food shortages could be created in a hurry and people could be created in a hurry. Food shortages created. I just wanted to leave that with you. And people would realize the dangers of overpopulation. See, they'd get freaked out. Ultimately, whether the population slows down or not, the food supply is to be brought under centralized control so that people would have enough to be well nourished, but they would not have enough to support any fugitive from the new system. Whatever that means. In other words, if you had a friend or relative who didn't sign on, and this is where the tape cut off, so we missed what they didn't sign on to, growing one's own food would be outlawed. This would be done under some sort of pretext. And he said, in the beginning, I mentioned, and this was a doctor that was in the audience who wrote down afterwards what was said. He said, in the beginning, I mentioned there were two purposes for everything. One is the ostensible purpose and one is the real purpose. And the ostensible purpose here would be that growing your own vegetables was unsafe, that it would bring spread disease or something like that. So the acceptable idea was to protect the consumer, but the real idea was to limit food supply. Growing your own food would then be illegal. And if you persist in legal activities like growing your own food, then you're a criminal. And then it talked about weather control. It said we can or soon will be able to control the weather anywhere. He said, I'm not merely referring to iodine crystals into the clouds to precipitate rain. That's already there, but real control. Seen as a weapon of war, a weapon of influencing public policy. It could make rain or withhold rain in order to influence certain areas or geographical regions and bring them under control. These were the two sides to this that were rather striking. He said, on one hand, you can make drought during the growing season so nothing will grow. And on the other hand, you can make for very heavy rain seasons during harvest season so the fields are too muddy to bring up the harvest. Or both. There was no statement on how this would be done. It was stated that whether it was already possibly or very, very close to being possible. Okay. I bring that up because of many of the things that Dr. Richard Day talked about are coming true right now. And that's why we kind of have to go in the way back machine a little bit and go, now, what did he say again? Strange, right? So he talked about that. And then I went back to the 2009 Rockefeller Foundation. They conducted an exercise, right, to explore technology and development, all of these things. They're always very, very busy. One scenario, lockstep, would describe a fictional pandemic that would infect 20% of the world, killing 8 million people in just 7 months. Do I think that's coming at some point? Yes. Is it COVID? No, it is not COVID. They never built a single cemetery to house the 500,000 extra deaths. It hasn't happened. It will happen. I do think it will in the future. I think that they definitely have it planned, but no, it has not happened yet. And then they put out a food system vision prize. So people could say, you know, what they would do, right, for the future of our food systems. Then in October, just recently in 2020, back in October, the end of October, 4 months ago, right, 5-6 months ago, the Rockefeller Foundation committed $1 billion over the next 3 years to catalyze a more inclusive green recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, if you're saying a green recovery from the COVID-19... What? Yeah, I know. It makes zero sense. They're trying to tie the two together, right? And they said, building on current efforts and longstanding programs, the foundation's going to focus on two key areas. So keep in mind, whenever Rockefeller is talking, you want to listen because these things usually happen. Isn't that interesting? Catalyzing billions of dollars in private and concessional investments to scale distributed renewable energy across developing countries, right? COVID-19 tests and vaccines, science-based tools, public health systems, right? They want to shore all this up. Okay. And then they also talked about not going back to the past before COVID. And they talked about a sustainable future. They talked about food. And they said that prior to the pandemic, half the world's population lacked access to essential health services. Okay. And then they were talking a little bit about poverty and food access and all of these things. Now, let me play a little bit of this for you, because you're going to laugh when you hear this, because listen to what he's saying. It's so out there. This is the Rockefeller Foundation. This is the head of the Rockefeller Foundation. This was just 6 months ago, right? 5-6 months ago. Here you go.
In the face of climate change and the COVID-19 pandemic, there is no going back. But we can make a choice on which future we want. COVID-19 has devastated families and communities.
Really?
And the world's most vulnerable people have been paying the highest price. Low and middle-income people have lost their jobs, homes, and lives at a rate double or triple other groups.
Now, listen, did he say anything about people dying? No, he talked about jobs. Do you find that kind of interesting? He talked about jobs. He didn't talk about death. He talked about jobs. Job loss. Here we go. Strange.
The pandemic turned back the clock on 25 years of progress on gender equality, education.
How did it affect gender equality? No one knows the answer to that. They just talk nonsense. They talk like they're insane. Okay, here we go.
Poverty reduction and hunger. Meanwhile...
I'm sorry, hunger too? Really? Okay. COVID did a lot of things, but I'm pretty sure those weren't those things. Go ahead.
Meanwhile, the climate crisis looms. These two disasters will push hundreds of millions of people back into poverty. Which brings us back here. Do we choose a new normal, or do we reimagine a future that's equitable and sustainable for all? A future where the latest technology and science advancements are deployed to empower people around the world.
Except you don't get to hear about an immune system or anything that actually makes any common sense.
A future where not only do we overcome COVID-19, but we have the tools and data to protect us from the next pandemic.
Oh, I'm sorry. They already think there's a next one. See that? Catch that?
A future that brings a billion people out of energy poverty without triggering a climate disaster, allowing them to unleash their full potential.
Really? Climate? Disaster?
Allowing them to unleash their full potential. A future that promises individual opportunity for all.
Do they not have that now?
The time to act is now. That's exactly what we're going to do. For 107 years, the Rockefeller Foundation has worked to elevate humankind through science, data, and innovation.
No, they're actually really evil. They actually are behind most of the cultural change. They're behind pretty much a lot of the evil that you've seen over the last 107 years.
Our mission is especially critical today. To combat these dual crises, we're going to go big. We will continue our work to disrupt inequity here and around the world. Investing in economic opportunity.
To disrupt it.
World.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Investing in economic opportunity and access to nutritious, affordable food.
I'm sorry, we not have nutritious and affordable food now? Huh.
There's no recovery while the most vulnerable continue to die from COVID-19. So we will scale up our work.
Really? The homeless didn't die. They're the most vulnerable. The homeless did not die from COVID-19. It's really interesting.
So we will scale up our work to empower communities with science-based tests, tools, and data to fight the coronavirus and prevent future outbreaks. There's no equitable, sustainable future while a billion people are sitting in the dark. So we will invest and encourage investment in distributed renewable energy to connect those people to a modern global economy. Together with investors, private sector, and international organizations, we will catalyze billions of dollars in investments in green energy technology. It's possible to end energy poverty in 10 years. It's possible not only to prevent the next pandemic, but to improve healthcare for all.
Do we have that?
It's possible to provide living wages.
I mean, honestly, do we have that?
It's possible to end energy poverty in 10 years.
Is there energy poverty?
It's possible not only.
Is there energy poverty? Ask yourself that. They're going a lot of directions with food and energy that are not going to benefit us. Sorry. Don't believe that hogwash. It's evil what they're doing. I'll be right back with Susan, Kate Daly Show. Do not go anywhere. Do not go anywhere. You're not going to want to miss this. It's always a quick hour with Susan, too. And, of course, go to katedalyradio.com. Be right back.